in the long term, in the very long term, and I'm talking years and decades here, I think the market is what Warren Buffett says, it's a weighing machine, and it will eventually weigh out the good stocks and the bad stocks. But certainly in the short term and in days and weeks and months, the market can become very reactive, and that's because I believe that the market is driven by emotions, and the market gets very oversold at times and it gets very overbought. That's got nothing to do with fundamentals. It's got nothing to do with the strength or the weakness of the economy at the time. It's just pure emotion. It's pure fear and greed. I'm sure you've all the listeners have heard that one. And so as a trader or even as an active investor, I regard myself as an active investor more so than a trader. You've got to keep telling yourself all the time and reminding yourself, probably on a daily basis, that the market is driven by emotion more so than fundamentals.
Welcome to this edition of Retire Well, Retire Happy with your host, Annie Nelson, an Australian look at reinventing yourself for retirement and getting yourself retirement ready. It's always fascinating getting to know what people are getting up to in retirement, how they are supplementing their incomes, pensions, where they have chosen to live, how they are filling their time, what charities they are supporting, and what adventures they are having. Anne will also talk to experts in their fields, including investing, health, estate planning, financial advisors, and seniors healthcare.
Hi, welcome back to the Retire Well, Retire Happy podcast show with your host, Annie Nelson. And today it's all about investing, and in particular, investing in the stock market. So do you think the stock market's going crazy? Or perhaps it's your trading strategy that needs to be reviewed. So here to answer one of those questions, why is it making money on the stock market easy? I'd like to welcome to the show Peter Castle.
Thank you for having me, Anne. It's a pleasure. Yeah.
And Peter is from Easy Share Trading. So you've been a full-time trader for many years.
Yes, I started full-time trading in 2000. So this is my 2019 is now my 20th year of full-time trading. I have a trade background. I'm a spray painter by trade, and I used to have a smash repair business. And I worked in that industry till I was 40. I'm now 60. And I decided to sell up and go full-time trading. And that was because I had been part-time trading for about 5 years. I started in about 1995. And I just it was a combination of things. The stars aligned. I was tired of my business, and I really wanted to have a crack at something else. And I was fortunate enough to have some capital behind me. So it was either a very wise decision or a very stupid decision, but that was what I decided to do.
Did your friends think you were crazy?
Well, I remember at the time my partner wasn't very impressed. I was partnered with the same lady for about 23 years, and she didn't think it was a very good idea at all. It certainly did put a lot of pressure and stress on the relationship, because it took me about 3 years to become profitable. It was a very, very tough time, and it was a baptism of fire. A lot of people will remember that in 2000 the NASDAQ crashed, and in 2001 we had the Twin Towers, and in 2002 there was a lot of indecision on a global scale as to whether the coalition was going to invade Iraq or not. And so those three major events held the markets back for 3 years, and it wasn't until around about early 2003 the markets actually started to rally and it became a bit easier to make money. So it was a very, very difficult few years for me and my partner.
And how does the market react? I mean, how the market works, is it all to do with if a company's making money or not, or is it to do with other things to do with the investors?
Look, I think in the long term, in the very long term, and I'm talking years and decades here, I think the market is what Warren Buffett says, it's a weighing machine, and it will eventually weigh out you know, the good stocks and the bad stocks. But certainly in the short term and in days and weeks and months, the market can become very reactive. And that's because, you know, I believe that the market is driven by emotions and the market gets very oversold at times and it gets very overbought. That's got nothing to do with fundamentals. It's got nothing to do with the strength or the weakness of the economy at the time. It's just pure emotion. It's pure fear and greed. I'm sure you've all the listeners have heard that one. And so as a trader or even as an active investor, I regard myself as an active investor more so than a trader. You've got to keep telling yourself all the time and reminding yourself, you know, probably on a daily basis, that the market is driven by emotion more so than fundamentals.
Right. So what makes a successful trader?
I think what makes a successful trader is two things. You need a method, and this is probably my coaching mantra, is that there's two reasons why people don't make money from trading or investing in the stock market. One is that they don't have a method. They don't have a solid method that they can follow. And the second reason is that even if they do have a method, which is rare, because a lot of people do not have a method, they take pot luck. But even those traders or investors that do have a method, they find it very, very difficult to stick to. And you need those two things. To be successful in the market over the long term, you need a method, and the more simple, the better. You need the emotional intelligence and the resilience and courage to stick to it. If you can do those two things, you will be successful in the market. It's actually quite a very, very simple process, but being human, we complicate it.
Okay. So how do we know we're doing the right thing, I suppose, that we're following a successful trade? I suppose I'm asking, what shouldn't we be doing? What is a risky trade so we can know that we shouldn't be doing that?
A risky trade is normally an emotionally driven trade. It's a trade that's not driven, it's not governed by good research and good reason, and it's a trade that doesn't fit within your plan. So, you know, for example, there's a couple of things you need to do. You need to decide, first of all, how much capital you're prepared to commit to the market. The next thing you need to do is decide, what are you going to trade? So you've got your capital. You think, well, what am I going to trade? What am I going to invest in? Now, am I going to invest in stocks? Am I going to invest in commodities or foreign exchange or options? So let's keep it simple and say, okay, I'm going to invest in stocks. I'm going to keep it to the Australian market. I'll only invest in top 300 stocks. But then what's your time frame? I mean, will you trade on a daily basis or a weekly basis or a monthly basis? You know, how often are you going to look at those stocks? And if you're using charts, for example, what time frame charts will you look at? How will you govern your decision making? What will help you decide when to buy and what will help you to decide when to sell? So, you know, the amount of capital that you're going to have is critical. What your time frame is critical, and you must stick to that. I mean, I know a lot of people that say, oh, I'm going to trade weekly or I'm going to trade monthly, but then, of course, they get in every day and they make changes on a daily basis because they can't cope emotionally with the small moves at the market. Well, they could be large moves. They can't cope with the daily movements of the market. They're not sitting back and taking a longer-term view. And then, of course, there's the risk profile and how much are you prepared to risk. How many trades will you hold? You might start trading with, I'll pick a figure, say you start trading with $100,000. Yeah, will you hold 10 stocks or will you hold 15 or will you hold 20? So I know it's already probably starting to sound a bit complicated, but when you actually break it down to a step-by-step process, it's all about good trading and good investing is all about decision-making, making the decision, formulating a plan and then sticking to it for a period of time. After you stick to it for, say, 6 or 12 months, then you can review it and you've got something to assess and you can say, well, okay, this is not working. I'm comfortable with this. I'm not comfortable with that. It really comes down to trying to think logically and rationally and not becoming too emotional.
So in all this time that you've been trading, you must have come up with a few formulas that work for you. Do you mainly just use one system?
I do mainly use one system. And I think that successful trading is, to me, I believe it's 100% psychology. When I first started trading, I did what everybody else does. I read probably hundreds of books and I did courses and I tried to learn as much as I could about the market. And, there are a lot of trading coaches out there that were saying that, being a good trader was a third psychology and a third money management and a third having a method. And I thought, that sounds pretty logical. I'll go with that. But as the years went by, I realised that the psychology started to come into it more and more. And it wasn't until probably about 10 years later I went and did a course with Dr. Van Tharp, who's an American trading coach and psychologist, arguably one of the best trading coaches in the world. And he made the statement that psychology was 100%. And I tend to agree with him now, because before you make any decision at all about trading or investing, it really comes back to how you're thinking and feeling. You can have the best method ever invented. You can have fantastic risk management strategies, but if you can't emotionally cope with it, if you're not thinking clearly, the best system will destroy the best system possible because of your thinking. So a clear mind and clear thinking is imperative to being a good investor.
Wow. Well, that's really interesting. I've never heard that one before.
Well, there you go. Well, that's my experience.
Well, that's worth a lot. And you've become successful. What do you use to help you work out when to buy and when to sell? Once you've decided on the company, I assume we're talking about a company with good fundamentals, and then after that you are looking at the charts then to work out when you're going to buy and sell?
Yeah, I'm glad you brought that up because, when I first started learning trading, which was in the mid-1990s, I mean, there used to exist, and to some degree this still does exist, but particularly in the 1980s and 90s, there was this great division between chartists or technical analysis and fundamentals. And it was like, you get those two groups of people together and never the twain shall meet. They just couldn't agree. But I think as the years have gone by, a lot of investors have realised that there's a lot of merit in both methods. You can't ignore fundamentals of a company and you can't ignore the charts and the technicals. You can pick the greatest company with the most impressive fundamentals, but the bottom line is if the price is going down, the price is going down. And in my opinion, it's not a very smart move to buy company that share price is going down, no matter how good the fundamentals are. And vice versa, you can get a company that's zooming up the charts and it's going ballistic. But if it's got poor fundamentals, I mean, it doesn't take a lot for that stock to crash. It's only got to release a bad report. And if the market takes a bit of a dive and has a bit of a pullback, it's the stocks that have weak fundamentals that normally pull back the furthest. So I think the smartest thing to do is why not use both? Why not use all the tools that are at our disposal? Use charting, use technical analysis, look at what the share price is doing, look at the volume, look at the support, and then look at the fundamentals as well and combine those two modalities to try and get the best one. And now it's interesting because you can still do all that. You can be a great technical analysis and you can be a great fundamental analysis and you can be fantastic at analysing and working out what stock to buy. But if you don't go in and buy it, if you don't commit to the process, and this is where the psychology comes back into it, if you don't commit to the process and say, this is where I'm going to buy and this is where I'm going to sell and stick to it, you still won't make any money. And certainly over the last 25 years, I've met many, many people, traders and investors in all sorts of clubs and investing associations, and there's many, many people out there that are like that. Investing and trading tends to attract people from technical and professional backgrounds, and they're used to crunching numbers and doing analysis and working things out, and they're very, very good at it. But trading and investing requires a unique mindset, and I think this is the thing that's lacking for most people.
It's fascinating that you still come back to mindset. Are you able to share any of the criteria that you use? I believe you look at your stocks on a weekly basis, is that right? What else do you use to decide whether you're going to go into the market or not?
Yeah, I use, as you probably know, I do have a, 3 years ago I wrote a trading book. It's only an e-book. It was never published. It's not in print form, but it is on my website. It sounds like I'm doing a plug here, but I'm not. I'm just explaining that there is a very detailed and simple system on my website if you want to look at it.
Okay, thank you.
So, look, my process is that I only buy stocks that are going up, and how I determine a stock that's going up is I look at 52-week highs. I won't buy anything that hasn't made a 52-week high. So that's and the reason for that is that most traders and investors fall into the trap of buying stocks that are going down. They're not looking at stocks that are going up. A lot of traders and investors can look at stocks that are going down hoping for a turnaround, or they're looking at stocks that are going sideways hoping that the stocks at some stage will go up. Well, I haven't mentioned backtesting, but I know from extensive backtesting and analysis that trading is all about probability. It's not about prediction. There's no such thing as prediction in the market. No one knows what the market will do tomorrow, next week, or next month, or next year. But we do know what we do know about probability. And we do know from all the testing and all the analysis that's been done over the last 100 odd years that stocks that make 52-week highs have a higher probability of continuing the trend than what other stocks do. So it's a bit of a no-brainer, really. And then once you get the stocks that are making 52-week highs, you can then look at the fundamentals of that company. I tend to go for growth companies more so than companies that pay a high dividend yield. Another interesting statistic is that companies that reinvest their dividends and don't pay dividends out to shareholders tend to have a higher growth rate than what other companies do. So someone like a bank, for example, let's look at the top four banks in Australia. They have a very high dividend payout ratio, but their growth rate or their rate of appreciation of their share price tends to be slower than companies that reinvest the profits back into the company. As an investor, you need to weigh up what your strategy is. Do you want dividend yield or do you want growth? And I want growth, and I'm not so concerned about dividend yield, and I'll always favour a company that has a higher growth than so much than pays a dividend. So 52-week highs, growth companies, and then, of course, you need to work out your risk and you need to work out your exit. I tend to buy... Normally, I buy around about 5% of my equity for each stock. So if I've got $100,000 in equity, I'll put 5% of my equity in one stock. That gives me about 20 stocks. I find that's a really good mix between profitability and volatility. If you start holding the fewer stocks you hold, the more volatile your portfolio will get. So if you've got two investors and one person's got 20 stocks and the other person's got 10, then the person that's got 10 stocks, their portfolio will experience more volatility than what the person that's got 20 stocks. And that's obviously because the person that's got 20 stocks has a bigger spread across the market, and it tends to reduce the risk a bit and reduces the volatility.
Yeah, that's a good tip. I have downloaded your ebook, but you talk about you don't even trade.
That particular system in the ebook and a lot of trading methods and trading systems use a similar approach. That all we're doing is using a very simple tool to identify if the market's going up or down. So You know, the rule in that ebook system is it uses a thing called a bull filter. The bull filter is a 12-week exponential moving average, and you get a chart of the ordinaries or the XAO, and you put a 12 EMA exponential moving average on the chart. If the close of the ord is above the 12 EMA, you're allowed to buy. And if the close is below the 12 EMA, you're not allowed to buy. You have to step away from the market and wait. So what that does is, if the listeners can do that, if they can go to a chart after this little talk, they can go to a chart of the XAO and they can, on a weekly scale, and they can put up a 12 EMA on the chart, and they can look at the price of the Australian stock market, and they'll see that when the price is above the 12 EMA, the market tends to go up, and when the price is below, it tends to go down. Right. So what that actually does is, it's not so much the bull filters are interesting because they're not so much really telling you when to go into the market. All they do, they tell you when it's safe to buy. But more importantly, they're telling you when to stop buying. So if you look at very big down periods that the market's had, you know, and of course the GFC is the one that comes to everyone's mind. If you had have stopped buying when the all odds went below the 12 EMA, it would have kept you out of the market all through that whole bear market period. And, of course, it would have got you back in again when the market turned back up. And the other thing is, of course, you have to use your stops. You've got to have some method of getting out of the market. So whether that be a 20% trailing stop or it be a moving average, you know, you need a method to say, well, look, if this happens, I'm out. I'm getting out of here.
Yeah.
And that's another big problem for a lot of traders and investors. They can't take their sells. But it's very, very important that, you know, if the market really starts to tank and starts going down, then you're better off getting out of the market.
Yeah. Okay. And just a further question on that.
Yeah.
How often are you looking at that? Is it the beginning of the week, the beginning of the month, every day?
Yeah, well, it depends on what time frame you've chosen to trade. I think a weekly time frame for most people is ideal, and that way that you can do all your analysis over the weekend. So you wait, you don't do anything through the week at all. You don't do any buying or selling through the week. So you do all your analysis over the weekend. You look at your stocks, you look at the charts, you know what your exit is. And you've predetermined your exit, and on the weekend you download your data or you go to your free software or whatever you use, you look at the charts, and the stocks that haven't given you a sell signal you keep, and the ones that have given you a sell signal you sell, and that's it. And I do all my buying and selling on a Monday, so I just analyze over the weekend. Mondays come around, I buy and sell what I need to, and then I'll leave it alone for the week, and I do it again next weekend.
Seems that that's the secret, hey?
That is the secret. Look, I'll touch on something really interesting here. I mean, people often say, you know, oh, the share market's really volatile and you can't make money from the market, you know, that you're better off putting it in housing and real estate because real estate always goes up and it's not as volatile as the stock market. Well, that's a furphy, and if you look at data and you compare the stock market with the real estate market, they track each other very, very closely. And the real estate market has big pullbacks as well. And as we know, you know, the last couple of years we've had a very big pullback in real estate, around about a 20% pullback in valuations in Sydney and Melbourne. But what's really interesting about housing is that people hang on for the long term. And the other thing is, your house, your investment property or your own home, it doesn't go up for auction every day like your share portfolio does. Every day your share portfolio goes up for auction. And not only does it go up for auction every day, you can also log into it with your smartphone 6 times or 7 times a day, or how many times you want, and you can look at your portfolio. Now, you can't do that with your house. Your house doesn't go up for auction every day. and you can't log into your smartphone every day and check the price of your house 6 times a day.
Yeah.
You stay totally with your house or your housing investment, you stay totally detached from it and you take a longer-term view. Now, if you can develop that same mindset with your portfolio, then you won't be as reactive and you'll be a lot more successful with share trading. But it's the access to the technology. It's because it's in our face. It's because every night Alan Kohler comes on the ABC News and talks about what the market's done. And, of course, there's all the tweets from, you know, Donald Trump and other people all around the world, and we're constantly bombarded with all the information about the market and the woes and the worries. And but with real estate, we don't get that. And so it seems like it's a lot easier investment and it seems like it's more safe, but it's exactly the same. It's the same thing. You're investing your money and your money is really at the mercy of the economy. What the economy does is what your investments will do, and it doesn't matter whether it's housing or it's share market or it's whatever it is. So I really encourage my clients to develop a mindset of detachment and to not look at the market every day, to try and switch off a bit from the news and stop doing so much reading and listening to the news and watching and worrying, and because that is the thing that will destroy your method. You'll go in at the worst possible time and you'll panic and you'll sell at the worst possible time, and, of course, the market rebounds in a couple of weeks or months and you lost a ton of money.
Well, thanks very much. That's some very wise advice. And before we finish up then, I see that you are, as well as trading, you're coaching, presenting, writing, you're into meditation, staying fit and Eastern philosophy. So I assume that's all helped you. Your interest in Eastern philosophy and meditation has helped you with your share trading.
Yeah, it's helped me a lot. I've always been interested in Eastern philosophy and meditation. I started karate when I was about 12 years old. So, you know, that was nearly 50 years ago. And I've had a passion for that all my life. And I am a Buddhist, and I've even taken the step to ordination. So I actually am an ordained Zen priest, which is sort of similar to a monk, really, but the difference between Zen priests and Buddhist monks is that Zen priests tend to live amongst the community. We're probably similar to a Christian minister or an Anglican priest. We don't necessarily live in monasteries and run churches, but we're sort of out amongst the community, and most of us teach meditation and try and facilitate, you know, as much calm and peace and love as we can possibly generate, and that's what we do. So I've found that extremely beneficial. I think, you know, if you take away all the religious stuff away from it, I know there's probably, you know, a lot of assumptions that people make about religion and Buddhism in particular. But if you can put all that to one side, I mean, Buddhism and particularly Zen, it's just all about awareness. You're encouraged to become as aware as possible, and that's it. It's not asking you to do anything else. I think, and this is the key to meditation, meditation helps you become aware. There's a guy in America called Ray Dalio, D-A-L-I-O, and Ray Dalio is one of the biggest fund managers in America, and he's a great proponent of meditation. He meditates every day. He swears by it. So I think if you want to look at someone who's successful, who runs a multi-billion-dollar hedge fund, and he uses meditation every day, all you've got to do is look at Ray Dalio. And interestingly, you know, all the trading coaches and the courses I've done, they all sort of tend to end up on some sort of spiritual meditative path. You know, I've done courses with Dr. Alexander Elder, who's a psychiatrist in the States, and he's a great proponent of AA, not so much because he's an alcoholic, but he really likes the 12-step program. And you've got Dr. Van Tharp, who's a psychologist in America, and he's another very famous trading coach. And he's a big believer in meditation, and he uses Hindu philosophy Then you've got another guy in this space called Ed Sakota, who's a very, very successful trend trader and trend follower. And he uses a combination of Buddhism and Native Americanism. And then in Australia, we've got Colin Nicholson, who's a very well-known investor and trader and author. And even though he's not particularly aligned with one spirituality, he's often talking about emotional intelligence and delayed gratification. So, you know, and then, of course, there's me who's into Zen. There seems to be a commonality amongst traders that are in the game a long, long time. And I think to stay sane and to work in a chaotic environment like we do, you need something to fall back on. And I think this is where the meditation comes into it. And I can say to people, it's helped me, and I've seen it help my clients. And, you know, all I can say is I recommend it highly.
Yep. Well, thanks very much for sharing that. That's all very valuable information and some very good context there for all listeners to check up on. So before we go now, Peter, it's been wonderful having you on the show. If anyone wanted to find out more about you and to find out more about Easy Share Trading, where would they go?
Well, look, you can Google Peter Castle. You can Google Easy Share Trading Systems. I'm sure it will come up. Go to www.easyshare trading systems. If you go to my website, there's a lot of information for free. Actually, the whole website is free. I don't have a subscription base. You can even go in and look at my portfolio. I publish my portfolio every week, and the portfolio this year's made 50%. You can go in and have a look at the trades I'm buying and selling. You can buy the ebook. I think it's $28 if you want to read about trading and read about a system. Shoot me an email, give me a ring, the phone number's on the website, and we'll just go from there. I do have a second book coming out hopefully around halfway through next year. It's with the publishers at the moment, and the book is called How to Trade Like a Zen Master, and it's a book combining trading with Zen psychology, as well as having a lot of practical advice in there, and it's got quite a few systems in there as well. I think there's about 4 or 5 systems in the book, trading systems. There's also a lot of stuff in there about psychology and Zen psychology and mindset and what to do to make yourself a better trader and investor. So I think that will help a lot of people, and I'm really excited about getting that book out there.
Oh, it sounds wonderful. I look forward to being able to purchase a copy of it, and perhaps we can catch up again next year when your book is out.
Oh, that'd be great, Anne. I really look forward to it.
Thank you. It's been wonderful having you on the show today.
All right. Thank you, Anne. My pleasure. All the best.
You have been listening to the podcast show of Retire Well, Retire Happy with your host, Annie Nelson. For more information on the show's guests and being retirement ready, pop on over to my website, www.annnelson.com.au, on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. Until next time, be happy, stay healthy, and help somebody.